I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
Woo! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politician, willing to look at facts and statistics and math and all kinds of objective tools like that. We're certainly going to do some of that today. I had some fun with math last night in my quest to unmask our children. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. I've been talking to other hosts here at the station. We're going to try to help parents stop the ritualized abuse of our children in these schools with this masking. And I did some number crunching on how many parents and students and everybody else are driven by a very, very small group of people. The numbers are pretty stunning, so stick around for that. Next hour, we will have False Flag Friday. I'm going to cover something next hour that I don't know if I've ever talked about it. I may have a couple of years ago, but I know it's been a while. There is always a battle going on within the U.S. government when it comes to foreign policy stuff that I don't think people are aware of. It is a battle within our own government. A pretty violent battle leads to a lot of violence. Not here in the country, not in Washington, D.C., but it is actually a battle for control over the machine, the power that is the United States around the world. So we'll talk about that. And then we will finish up with this week on the crazy train as I've got clip after clip after clip after clip showing the insanity of the world we're living in. So we'll get to that to finish out the show. Quote of the day today. This is Dennis Healey. He was the move this up here where I can see it better. Dennis Healey, he was the deputy leader of the Labour Party. This is in Great Britain. He was the from 80 to 83. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer during the 70s and the Secretary for Defense of Great Britain from 1964 to 1970. And here is his quote. World events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen. Whether it is to do with national issues or commerce, and most of them are staged and managed by those who hold the purse strings. We would all be really well served to understand this. I'm going to read this again. This is a guy who served in the British government for, looks like, at least 20 years, starting out as the Secretary of Defense, ending up as the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party in Great Britain. He said, world events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen, whether it is to do with national issues or commerce. And most of them are staged and managed by those who hold the purse strings. When you watch world events and you see the media just breathlessly reporting on a bad exit from Afghanistan or this or that, understand, there just are very few accidents. It doesn't mean that they control every bullet that flies, every single attack that happens, but the direction of things are plotted and planned and presented to us in just a completely dishonest way. Here is a great, great quote I ran across yesterday for C.S. Lewis. When the whole world is running towards the cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. That answers my question. I've been sitting behind this microphone for about a year right now saying, I'm not sure who's insane. It's either me, and I've been open to the idea that maybe I'm the one that's lost my mind because I look at the rest of the world and I say, what the hell are you people doing? I don't care if it's supporting one of these two political parties. I don't care if it's masking up or being excited about lockdowns and experimental vaccines. I don't care what it is. I'm just looking at the world saying, this is insane. Well, it turns out C.S. Lewis knew. He said, when the whole world is running towards the cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. I believe that's the case. The whole rest of the world is running towards the cliff. I'm going to go. I ran across a tweet. When I talk about quotes of the day, there's so much propaganda out there with the political parties. It's really gross. And I cover more of it on the right here because, I know, the people that listen to the station are largely conservative. I want you to be able to spot pandering and partisanship and dishonesty wherever you see it. And I don't care the name of where it comes from. I'm gonna cover it. I'm not a party guy. I don't like politicians. I'm always looking for them to be dishonest, and when I find it, I'm going to expose it. This is a tweet. I don't know if this is Instagram. I get confused on these things. Yeah, I'm an old man. Steve Scalise put out something. I'm sure Steve Scalise is a big hero to a lot of people on the right. He may have done some good things, but he is a politician, and he's just a Republican. He's just playing one side of the thing. So he puts this out for his people. He says, since Biden took over, Taliban got a country, Russia got a pipeline, illegal immigrants got a free path into the United States. Now, I don't know, many of us would really disagree with the idea that the southern border has become a mess and has been pretty much, the door has been swung open. It's a catastrophe. So he's right there. But Taliban got a country? No, Steve Scalise, Taliban's always had a country. Last year in 2020, with Donald Trump still in office, we knew that the Taliban was constantly retaking more and more land, and we knew the Taliban was stronger in 2020 during Trump's final year than they had been since 2001. Taliban already had a country. And then Steve Scalise, this Republican, says one of his criticisms of Joe Biden is Russia got a pipeline. What the hell does that mean? Russia's a very large country with a lot of people and a lot of natural resources. Is Steve Scalise, the Republican here in America, saying that it's a bad thing that another sovereign nation gets their own pipeline? See, this is, I did a quiz a couple of days ago. Are you a neocon? And I believe that neocons are one of the biggest cancers on planet Earth, particularly when it comes to our prosperity. Neocons are what are bankrupting this country with their endless foreign adventures. What is Steve Scalise's point? Russia got a pipeline. Oh, how dare they? How dare they pull their oil and their gas out of their land and sell it to somebody? Steve Scalise apparently thinks that's a problem. And the Biden administration is responsible for it. I'm no Biden fan. No, you didn't tune into some left-wing Democrat talk radio. I can't stand Joe Biden. He's an absolute disaster, but they all are. He goes on to say, this is Steve Scalise. He says, meanwhile, American citizens got inflation, high gas prices, and crime. Now, I would say out of those three things, you could probably lay a lot of the crime stuff down at the Democrats, more at the local level, Democrat mayors, Democrat governors. San Francisco is trying to do something about it. We'll talk about that in This Week on the Crazy Train. I think it was San Francisco rolling out a new anti-crime program that is just beyond stupid. Just incredibly stupid. But anyway, but Steve Scalise wants to lay on the Biden administration for partisan purposes. If Steve Scalise is stupid enough to believe these things, then he shouldn't be serving. I don't think he is. I think this is pandering and partisanship that destroys the mind of people on both sides. But when he says, meanwhile, American citizens got inflation, high gas prices, those are largely the same things. And if he doesn't think that the trillions of dollars printed up during the Trump administration and the Obama administration and the Bush administration, if he doesn't think that those things were going to be inflationary anyway, I will fight to the death this idea that Joe Biden himself ushered in this huge inflationary period. Joe Biden will make it worse, just like Donald Trump made it worse and Barack Obama made it worse after George Bush made it worse when they opened the floodgates of Fed spending to start doing bailouts back in 2008 in George Bush's final year, not to mention all of the debt-based wars that George Bush got kicked off in the beginning. Steve Scalise ends his tweet saying Biden's entire presidency has been a disaster and it's only been 7 months. That is true. Joe Biden's presidency has been a disaster. Joe Biden is a disaster. A walking, shuffling, sleepy disaster. There's no doubt about that, but I could not let this tweet go on. I think that was the Russia got a pipeline thing that really got to me, particularly on a day we could talk about foreign policy. The idea that a sitting American congressman would come out and talk about how terrible it is for the world that another sovereign country got a pipeline to sell their own natural resources, that's about as blatant as it gets to show you how insane some of these people are. Russia gets to sell its oil. They are not, they don't have to do what we say. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I?
Yeah, talking about the Steve Scalise tweet or Instagram, whatever it is. I guess it's a tweet. I don't know. It's a different color than I'm used to for a tweet, so I just don't know. I don't do social media. I just don't do it. Caller during the break, maybe I should clarify. Steve Scalise is talking about the fact that Russia completed, we lifted, you know, I think there's actually still some sanctions on the Russians. We may have lifted some. So they've completed an oil pipeline from Russia to Germany in particular, but they're selling natural gas largely. I believe it's natural gas, not liquid petroleum, but natural gas to Europe. And our politicians think this is just a terrible thing. I don't know if you've looked at a map and looked at where Germany is and where Russia is. They're pretty darn close. I believe they're separated by one country that's the size of a U.S. state. For some reason, the psychopaths in Washington, D.C., and we know why. It's because the oil and gas producers here give them a bunch of money. We believe, Steve Scalise believes, that Germany should get their oil and gas from us. Now, I'm all for American jobs. That's great. If we compete in the market and Germany goes, hey, U.S. has got better delivery, they've got better quality product, they've got a better price, we want to get it from the U.S., that's fantastic. But this idea that Steve Scalise thinks we should sanction it, that we have to check off on every commercial arrangement between countries, and that Germany shouldn't be allowed to buy oil and natural gas from Russia. And even Trump did the same thing. He said, you know, now, you know, we've been funding NATO, and now Germany is going to be reliant on Russia for oil and natural gas. So that's their choice. That's Germany's choice to do that. That is not the Soviet Union that they're dealing with. It's a new Russia. I don't know if people can even understand this. The propaganda is so deep that it is some kind of a threat to the United States and to Europe for Russia to sell them something. Is insane. You know, I accidentally left the TV on last night on Fox. I watched some of Tucker Carlson, one of the only bright lights on mainstream media, if not the only bright light on mainstream media. Tucker Carlson just does some good stuff. I saw a clip last night. I don't know if I'll have a chance to play it, where he took on Lindsey Graham. It was a beautiful thing to behold. And he ends the segment by saying, we've asked Lindsey Graham to come on this program. He just won't. I'll bet he won't. Lindsey Graham, a true neocon piece of human refuse. But he liked Trump, Mike, so Lindsey Graham's okay in our book now. Lindsey Graham tried to do some reputational rehab by saying nice things about Donald Trump so all of you would forget what a horrible, blood-soaked war criminal Lindsey Graham is. Tucker Carlson didn't let him off the hook, but I will say, I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. I left the TV on Fox, got doing something else, and when I looked up, Sean Hannity was on my TV. I changed the channel as fast as I could. Is there anybody I can call so that, like, the ratings agencies know I wasn't actually intending to watch Sean Hannity? I don't want that to count towards his ratings. You know Sean Hannity, the guy that convinced Republicans to send our troops to Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria in the first place, who now comes out and criticizes Biden for the withdrawal of the troops, who never would have been there if it hadn't been for Sean Hannity himself leading the charge to every single war, every single troop deployment, every single surge. I mean, he's repeating the criticisms of Joe Biden now for his withdrawal from Afghanistan, which by all accounts was just an absolute mess. I'm not carrying any water for the nut job Joe Biden or any of the psychopaths running, you know, that are running his cabinet right now. But I guess Sean Hannity's CIA handlers called him up and said, all right, we need to do another night tonight about how we've left a mess in Afghanistan, because Sean Hannity is going to tee up the ability for us to go back. You know, Rachel Maddow, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Brian Stelter over at CNN, they are all just absolutely horrible. But I swear, at least Republicans know that they are bad and they're being lied to. I believe that Sean Hannity is far more dangerous to the right, because you believe he's on your side. It's really gross. So here's my math. So I started talking yesterday, and I appreciate people who reached out to me. I got some emails yesterday. I'm going to try to make this show, and I think that some other hosts here are on board too, as kind of a hub. We need to free our children from the masks. I don't want to be repetitive with this, but I think it's very important that this battle be taken on. I'm going to try to play some part in it, not a figurehead or anything like that. I want to be the hub to all the spokes of people who can get together, because I want you to listen to these numbers. This is how I am. This is how I'm wired. I may be on the autism spectrum to some degree or something like that. You know, I start seeing numbers floating around. But I was very curious, because I've been looking up these school boards who have been masking our children, and they're very small boards. Rankin County has 6 school board members. Madison County, I believe, I forgot to look this up again this morning, but I looked at it the other day when I found out that Madison had tricked Madison parents into a mask mandate, you know, just for 2 weeks. And I think the Madison County Board has 5 members. Jackson Public Schools has 7 members. These are the boards that I really looked at last night. So at a total, that's 18 school board members have made the decision to mask. Let's see, about, I didn't actually do this calculation, close to 60,000 students. 60,000 students are forced to wear filthy, dangerous, ineffective masks to school because 18 school board members said they should. But it gets worse than that, because every one of these students has 2 parents. Not all of them engaged, I understand. And each one of these students has 4 grandparents. Not all engaged, not all living here locally, not all close to their grandchildren. But just think about these numbers. I mean, I don't know. This, you know, we've had this idea of populism, particularly in the age of Donald Trump, that I like. It's that the people are starting to get restless. We act out in some kind of bizarro ways. Not always effective, not always targeting, but the idea that Americans are finally catching on to the fact that we have been on the short end of the stick, that our government at just about every single level is not serving the people it's supposed to serve. These school board members are not serving the children. They're serving the CDC. Because it just does not take very long to realize that masks don't work. And see, I read a Vanity Fair article yesterday, a left-wing, liberal, elite, coastal magazine that said that masks are harming the children. I believe it called them dangerous. So these 18 people could look this up very quickly and probably know, but they're going to hide behind the CDC. Listen to these numbers, though. In Madison County Schools, it's got 13,000 students. That's 26,000 parents and 52,000 grandparents. I didn't calculate it out because I don't know how you could do it. Then there's aunts and uncles and other people, godparents who care about these children. So between the parents and the grandparents, that's 78,000 people love the children in Madison County Schools. But 5 board members put your kids in a nasty, dirty, dangerous, abusive mask every day they go to school. That's ineffective. Has done absolutely nothing. 78,000 of you have stood down because of 5 people. 5. Rankin County Schools. Rankin County Schools are big. Rankin County Schools, 19,314 students have been forced to wear a dirty, dangerous, fungus, bacteria-grabbing mask and sit in it for 8 hours, which even the Occupational Safe and Healthy Health Administration will not allow. Go look it up. OSHA will not allow people to wear masks straight for 8 hours a day. because they know it's unhealthy. It's been that way at OSHA for a long, 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 long time. But in Rankin County, they've got six board members who have masked 19,314 students. And who has stood down and allowed this to happen? 38,628 parents and 77,256 grandparents are allowing their children to be put in harm's way, to be abused every single day with these dirty, ineffective, disease-causing, health-wrecking, socially impairing masks. That's over 110,000 adults who should be the protectors of these children have bowed down, have sat down. Nobody wants to stick their head up. I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want them to be mad at me. I don't want to look like a weirdo. Six board members, 110,000 parents and grandparents, and the six board members won. Jackson Public Schools, 25,925 students. That's 51,850 parents and 103,700 grandparents have all allowed JPS's seven board members, at the behest of Thomas Dobbs and the CDC, which has been chronically wrong, chronically dishonest, I'll point out more of that in a second, to mask your children. Now, of all of these kids and everything, this is, as a total of parents and grandparents of those three school districts, 349,434. 350,000 parents. Not all are on board. Some of them think the masks still work. Some of them don't care. But you mean to tell me out of 350,000 parents and grandparents of the students who are being ritually abused in the COVID cult every single day at school, we can't find 500, 1,000, 5,000 parents that would draw a line in the sand and stop a ritualistic health abuse and mental health abuse of your children every single day? I kind of refuse to believe that, but I may be surprised. I may be surprised that nobody cares. Nobody cares about their own children. Oh, they say they do. They got a car seat. But do they really care? Do they care enough to stop this abuse of their children? Check this out. They just come out with a study. Well, I don't want to make the teachers mad. Well, maybe you need to educate the teachers. Compared with adults of working age who are otherwise similar, teachers and their household members were not found to be at increased risk of hospital admissions with COVID-19 and were found to be at lower risk of severe COVID-19, concluded the study that was published in the medical journal BMJ. That's the British Medical Journal. Teachers are at no risk in classrooms. I don't know how many teachers I've seen running, screaming to the cameras, saying, oh, all these little petri dishes I've got to stand in front of, these little diseased vectors, they're going to kill me and kill my parents if they don't all have a shot and they don't all have a mask on and they don't all social distance and they don't get behind a plexiglass screen. British Medical Journal publishes a thing saying teachers are at no extra risk. David McAllister, professor of clinical epidemiology and medical informatics at the University of Glasgow and an author of the study, said the results are, quote, I love this one, likely to be broadly reassuring for people involved in face-to-face teaching. It should be reassuring. It should be reassuring to teachers. But you know what teachers will do? They'll just refuse to accept this study. Because it's not from Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs. Thomas Dobbs knows this too. But he's about to push. He's the one forcing your children to be in a dirty, filthy, bacteria, and fungus-gathering, ineffective mask every single day. He doesn't care. He won't care about this study either, showing that even the teachers aren't at risk. We already knew that the students weren't at risk, but now it turns out the teachers aren't even at risk. There's been no death in Sweden of Swedish teachers who have been teaching maskless to maskless children. As a matter of fact, they got one of the lowest problems with COVID in all of Europe, in all of the world, actually. And Thomas Dobbs knows this. The school board should know it. But like I said, I sent my kids to 12 years of Madison County schools. Really liked it. I enjoyed it. I was involved in the schools, got to know a lot of the people. I just never knew they were functionally retarded. Until now. Hopefully maybe it's new people in there since my kids left Madison Central a couple of years ago. 350,000 parents should love their children enough to stop a daily abuse. You can email me. I'm starting a list. I got several emails yesterday. I'm going to reach out to some people who are already in this fight to unmask our children. And as I say, I believe parents need to organize for the masks first, because right now, as we speak, there are children being physically, emotionally, and mentally harmed in a mask right this second, all across the metro area. They're all stuck in these masks right now. This needs to be the first line in the sand, but the parents need to form a group that says, we're watching these schools. And every time you start to get out of line, we're going to make your life a living hell. We're not going to stand for it anymore. Until you get a school board who stops taking from you. So when critical race theory tries to rear its head, boom, this group of parents is ready to mobilize. They know what they're doing. You need to start with these masks and keep this group together. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, if you want to get into this fight. And you know, I was talking to Jameson last night, and he made one point that's right. A lot of people are too cool for this stuff. You don't want to be seen as a troublemaker. Your children are being abused in your schools right now. And I mean that with no hyperbole. They are being forced to do something that is there's no medical reason for it. There's no health reason for it. But there are real psychological, mental, and physical damages being done to your child in the school, or your grandchild, or your niece, or your nephew, being done to your child right now. And as I say, with 350,000 of you out there in the metro area, I can't believe we can't get 5,000 together. But I'm prepared to be really, really, really disappointed in a lot of parents. Anyway, if you want to get involved, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYEB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. There is a Madison County School Board's meeting on September 7th. So there's one right around the corner. I believe it's at 5 o'clock. There are 78,000 parents and grandparents whose children are being abused in the schools right now with these masks. I'm going to, this weekend, put together some resources, at least for myself. You know, I don't know exactly how you fight this. They think they have all the science on their side. That's why they're so dismissive. It doesn't matter that the Atlantic can write an article talking about the dangers of children being masked. It doesn't matter if we've got 100 years of medical research, including doctors in hospitals working with communicable diseases that weren't masked every day, all day long. None of those things matter to these school boards. What matters is what Thomas Dobbs says, what Anthony Fauci says, what the CDC says. So I'm not really sure what the attack point is. You know, when you deal with people who don't really care about facts or information, it is difficult to try to figure out what sways them. But maybe some of these school board members need to really not enjoy their jobs. I'm not talking about any kind of physical violence or even confrontations or anything, but really know that, you know, masking these kids, why are we having to fade all this heat? Because Thomas Dobbs says the masks need to be on. And because Anthony Fauci, see, Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci, they don't have to deal with all these dang parents who keep nosing around in our business. But I'm going to put together, you know, some good research. There's plenty of things on CDC and NIH websites that show that these masks do not work. There's plenty of things that show that they're dangerous. Lots of studies have been done about the mental problems with wearing a mask, oxygen, the bacteria, the fungus that get in these things, not to mention how kids handle their mask. I mean, I think a lot of these studies were done just on the fact that when you breathe out, you're expelling waste. And the mask traps it in there in this nice, moist, little dark cocoon. It's like basically taking mold and putting it into your attic. You're putting that on your child's face every single day, just hoping it goes away. It's not going away. Heard about the Mu variant. Oh, I forgot. Fear word of the day today. Mu variant. Mu variant. Oh, maybe it'll be nothing. Maybe they'll give us a break. Maybe they'll tell us a couple are kind of ho-hum variants. But you can rest assured, October, November, December, January. Because I don't believe that the September 7th meeting is going to get the Madison County Board to reclaim their senses in any way, shape, or form. But it should be an opening salvo to know that the longer they do this, because I guess they only did a two-week mask mandate, and they may give you a little bit of relief. What you need to understand is they need to close the door on these mask mandates, as well as vaccine mandates, because they're coming as well. I'm going to play a clip here from someone at the Mayo Clinic about the vaccines. The prevailing wisdom on just about everything. Well, let me take that back. It's not wisdom. It's how they get away with things. It's like the food. You can drink a bunch of diet sodas. When you don't die the next day, you think, oh, it's not hurting me. And 20 years down the road, when people develop all kinds of health problems, they never connect it to the last 20 years of eating these foods that they figure weren't killing them because they didn't die the next day. It's the same with the vaccines. Essentially, what the experts tell us is that, look, if you take a shot and you don't die in the first 48 hours, it proves the thing is safe. Well, here's what a Mayo Clinic doc had to say.
But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning locked-in low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what do CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious, you know, bump the kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells. I am seeing a 20 times increase in individuals over the age of 50 of this little bump and rash. That's innocuous, but what it tells me is the immune status of these individuals who have gotten the shot. We're literally weakening the immune system of these individuals. Now, most concerning of all is there's a pattern of these types of immune cells in the body that keep cancer in check. Well, since January 1, in the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis. A 20 times increase. I'm not exaggerating at all. Because I look at my numbers year over year. I'm like, gosh, I've never seen this many endometrial cancers before. I'm seeing invasive melanomas in younger patients. Normally, we catch those early, and they're thin melanomas. I'm seeing thick melanomas skyrocketing in the last month or two. I'm already seeing the early signals. And we are modifying the immune system to a weakened state. Great study out of Germany that looked at these profiles on young individuals after the Pfizer, showing this locked in, and we don't know how long. Maybe the immune system, you know, is going to regenerate and those ratios will go back up. But who's studying it?
Nobody.
And where are the long-term trials? 2 months, 4 months? How long is this profile locked in? We don't know.
There you go. That's what's coming for you next. If you don't jump on this mask thing, that's what your next battle will be. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to flail around. And by the time you get it rolled back, most kids will have been forced vaccinated into the schools. We already got 72 shots on the school schedule here. You think they won't add one more? You got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I called you. I heard you on the Ken Wade. I figured I'd listen to your morning show. I'm the black landlord that called in from Washington, D.C. And I told you I put out all my tenants that weren't paying.
The hero. I referred to you the other day as one of the greatest patriots ever called this show because you took a ridiculous government mandate, arbitrary and unconstitutional, and did what good Americans should do, which is ignore it.
Well, I live by God's law.
There you go.
These people are taking God out of the schools and everything, and then you hear people, preachers, ministers, they'll survive COVID and they'll thank the vaccine. Never even mention God. It's the most amazing thing. But I want to ask you, have you heard about what they're doing in New York City? And I know you're down in Mississippi, but they're going to roll this thing out probably all over the country. They've extended the moratorium on evictions now all the way to January.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And, you know, once they roll it out, you know, it's very difficult to put anyone out in New York and all these liberal cities anyway. So then you're probably looking at another 6 months whenever they end the eviction moratorium.
Yeah, I mean,
people may have lived 3 years for free.
Well, tell me this. We don't have long. I got to go to break in just a second. But tell me, you're a landlord. What are these landlords doing? I mean, are they just going nuts? Are they going bankrupt? Are they having properties go into foreclosure? How are landlords dealing with this stuff? Is the government paying them? Is New York paying the landlords? Or is this just a ruling and they just say, good luck, landlords?
Let me tell you what they're doing. And this is my opinion. They're holding the money. They have the money. But they won't pay the landlord. They're giving the money, people the money to take back screenshots. They find the money to do all that.
Yeah.
But they're choking their landlords, kind of like the Holodomor that happened in Ukraine. They're forcing them to provide housing while they have the money to dole it out to them, but they won't give it to them, right? And the only thing left is either sale or just, you know, many of these people are small landlords, so they're working, and they're more or less just subsidizing these people who are living for free.
Right.
And it can't go on much longer. You know, most of them are going to sell if they refuse to put them out. And it's going so long now that you can't put someone out a year after they haven't paid you.
Right.
You know, that's something that you should have done immediately.
Right. You've kind of set the precedent that you were willing to go along with it for a while. So to break it now, it's like, yeah, you acknowledged the law. That's why I think what you did was so heroic. You just went ahead and did it. I think you saved yourself a lot of problems and did exactly what a free human being with private property should do.
I tell you, if the courts are closed for COVID, how in the hell are they going to bring you to court?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They closed the court, so that goes both ways.
Look, that's the only upside of this whole thing is occasionally we get some government departments shut down for a little while. That's about the only bright spot in it all. But, hey, look, I got to jump to a break, but I really appreciate the call. Glad you listened. And
I love you, sir.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Stay with you.
It's been a ride. Everybody, I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, I've only got a few minutes left in this hour, and then when we come back next hour, we're going to get into some foreign policy stuff. Don't let your eyes glaze over. It's important stuff. We're getting towards an important anniversary now. It's time to be on alert for the next thing they try to pull off. They love anniversaries. We're about to have the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Next week, I'll be doing a 9/11 show. I don't know exactly what happened on September 11th of 2001, but I know it isn't what they told us happened. I'm absolutely positive of that. You know, I played that clip, got that caller. I really admire that guy for just ignoring the CDC. They have no authority to get in between the landlord and the tenant. Absolutely zero authority to do such a thing. And so he ignored it. But though I played that clip from that Mayo Clinic doc who's seeing the rise in all of these diseases because he believes this vaccine is messing with the immune system. They're coming for your kids. They are coming for your kids with this shot. And in 5 years, it may turn out it's great for kids. I'm open to that. I'm open to the whole mRNA thing. I like the Dr. Robert Malone that invented it. I think he thought there was going to be some benefits to having that as a technology for us. I sent a friend yesterday the Israeli data. I don't know if I'll have time. I'll probably save it. It's stunning stuff. Absolutely stunning stuff. I believe 86% of their ICU beds are full of vaccinated people. What are they doing? Throwing out a booster. I saw a headline today. Anthony Fauci says 3 shots is going to be the standard now. I don't know if that's 3 in sequence or if that's 2 and then 6 months or 5 months or 6 weeks till the third. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out yet. They don't know either. But that is coming. But you want to know how dishonest this system is. Joe Rogan got COVID. I believe he's been vaccinated. He's never said publicly. He said one time he had an appointment to get it and it got canceled. So I assume he was open to it. I would imagine he rescheduled. They're not reporting on that. I don't think Joe Rogan has made a comment on that. I imagine he'll be pressed by his listeners to determine whether or not he's been vaccinated. But he did make it public that he had been taking ivermectin. And you want to know how dishonest our media is and our health authorities? They constantly refer to this as horse dewormer. The WHO, lists ivermectin as one of its essential medicines, and I think there's only three in that list. I could be wrong about that, but I think ivermectin is one of the top three. And the statistic I saw was that 3.4 billion prescriptions for ivermectin, or courses of ivermectin, had been handed out to human beings. And what's so sick about our medical establishment and our media is that they constantly point to this horse paste. That's what they call it, a horse dewormer. They refuse to even acknowledge that it's been a medicine used by human beings for 40 years. And they call it horse dewormer. They know human beings have been taking it. But it's also sick because the medical establishment looks down their nose after they have refused to prescribe you the human doses of it. Then they make fun of you for seeking the animal treatment. Really gross.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
What?
Look out.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Funny, I was just kind of listening to my intro. It says, a new breed of conservative talk. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the bigger understatements on this station on a daily basis. I would imagine there's a lot of conservatives out there that hear a guy that is openly anti-war and think, oh, that's not conservative. No, it is. It absolutely is. You go read the Founding Fathers' quotes on wars and huge standing armies, entanglements with other countries. It's gotten to the point where you almost can't be what is considered a traditional Republican, traditional conservative, and a constitutionalist at the same time. They're 180 degrees away from each other. So I just find it a little funny, but I'm unabashedly anti-war. And I tell you what, it's good and sad at the same time to see military members wake up to exactly what's been going on. And you know, in light of what we're seeing play out in Afghanistan right now, which was always going to play out, I've talked to a lot of people. They say, well, Trump never would have put up with the Taliban's march of the past few weeks. And I believe you're right. But his response would have been to stay in Afghanistan until that situation was handled. And it was never going to be handled. So he just would have stayed. So we wouldn't have had the chaos of this pullout that we just had if Trump had been in office. You're right about that. But we also wouldn't have gotten out. Because there was never going to be these perfect conditions to leave a Western-style democracy safe from the terrorists. It's never going to happen. But to listen to these military members, now this guy is not Jack Keane, the guy that Fox News prances in front of you every chance they get. You know, Jack Keane on Fox News, you'll see him a lot. Lou Dobbs loves him. Sean Hannity loves him. He comes on as their military analyst, former retired general, Jack Keane, very authoritative voice. Really sounds like he knows what he's doing. And they don't disclose that he's on the board of directors of four different defense contractors, at least last I saw. So I got a couple of quotes of the day, and one of them is this soldier, an image of him here, rock-jawed, buzz-cut, thick neck. And this is his quote, $2 trillion to train and equip the Afghan military over the past 20 years. They fell in a week. It was never about real training. It was about military contractors and the corporations raking in the profits. I am numb. I am sure everyone who spent years there feels the same. And I think it's positive going forward to see military members realize exactly what they were forced to do. Not for American security, not for their own good, but for the military contractors and the corporations raking in the profits. It's sad for them to come to that realization, but it's probably good because maybe they will spread that news and let people know. Of course, that warning has been around for a while. I've referred often to Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine back in 1933, and just reading this guy's quote this morning made me want to pull this up. Smedley Butler wrote a whole book, but this is his most important passage. And I guess I'll go ahead and read it because I refer to it a lot and haven't read it in a while. This is Smedley Butler. Again, the most decorated Marine back in 1933. I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. Now, I'm going to pause there. I understand his sentiment there. Capitalism has nothing to do with using the military for a corporation's needs. And so this is cronyism. It is corporatism that creates these things. It's not capital. If we were ever truly capitalist, there's a reason why Continental Tires doesn't direct the military to invade Goodyear tire plants and take over their facilities. The restaurant owner who scrimps and saves to open a restaurant or goes out and borrows money to get it done and hires employees and tries to put out good food and compete with another restaurant doesn't get to use the U.S. military to go destroy all their competitors because they are actually capitalist. So anyway, I digress. This is Smedley Butler again. He said, I helped make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for American oil interests in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National Citibank boys to collect revenues in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902 through 1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interest in 1916. I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went on its way unmolested. Looking back on it, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was to operate his racket in three districts. I operated on three continents. That is the most decorated Marine in 1933 when he came to the same realization that this soldier came to about Afghanistan, where he realized we just spent 20 years there funding, training, equipping the Afghan government, not because we wanted to see them succeed in any particular way, but because that's where the money was. The money is in doing these wars. I have a couple other clips here from somebody with the 82nd Airborne. It's a woman that was served with the 82nd Airborne over in Afghanistan, and she did an interesting interview too. A couple of clips of that I'll play.
It seems likely that few people are watching the events in Afghanistan as closely as the people who serve there. At every point from the invasion in 2001 to the recent terrorist attack at Kabul Airport, they've risked their lives in support of the U.S. mission there. There are probably as many views of the mission and the way it is ending as there are people who served, so we're not going to pretend we know or can sum up what everybody thinks. We're just going to keep bringing you different views. So today we hear from Laura Jadid, a writer and Army veteran who deployed to Afghanistan twice and posted a powerful essay on Medium that's getting a lot of attention. It's called Afghanistan Meant Nothing. A veteran reflects on 20 wasted years. And Laura Jadid is with us now to tell us more about it. Laura Jadid, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What you say in the piece, I mean, let me just start where you start. You say, I remember Afghanistan well. I deployed there twice, once in 2008 and again in 2009 to 2010. It was already obvious that the Taliban would sweep through the very instant we left. Why do you say that?
Well,
and this brings me back to taking on Steve Scalise at the beginning of this show. Steve Scalise asking, trying to blame Biden for the Taliban taking back over. It says Taliban got a country. Taliban always had this country. They were always going to have this country. It's quite obvious. And Steve Scalise knows that. But he wants you to think that we just should have done more militarily. We should have fought harder. We should have done. I mean, there's other countries he's going to want you to get involved in because I'm sure he's raking in that fat military contractor cash.
The second deployment that I went on, we were there to train the Afghan National Army and police. And this was the 82nd Airborne Division, which is not trained to train anyone. We're barely trained ourselves to do anything except for, well, what the 82nd does, which is destroy things. And so after some abortive efforts, what my unit ended up doing was what a lot of units did, which was we did the missions and then we said that we helped, but that the Afghan National Army did most of it. So that was one thing where it just seemed like we weren't really providing any kind of groundwork to keep things in check. It just felt like it was us versus people who wanted us to not be there anymore. And the people who didn't want us to be there seemed a lot more passionate about it than we did or than our ostensible allies did. And it just seemed like the whole exercise was propping up something that would fall apart the minute we left.
And she turns out to be exactly right. And it is really very sad. This is why, you know, I'm anti-war, and I say my support of the troops is this. Don't put them in these crappy situations. Don't allow Lindsey Graham to send your sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads halfway around the world into crappy situations for their own purposes. Lindsey Graham has other reasons. That has nothing to do with national security.
You talked about the sense of futility, the piece, you know, you write about that. You say, I remember how every year the U.S. would have to decide how to deal with the opium fields. You could leave the fields alone, and then the Taliban would shake the farmers down and use the money to buy weapons. Or you could carpet bomb the fields, and then the farmers would join the Taliban for reasons that to me seem obvious. But when all this was going on, like, did you and your fellow soldiers, did you talk to each other about this? Was this ever even discussed? Like, how did you deal with that, which is like right in front of your face?
Oh, I mean, that's the sort of thing that you joke about, right? Because there's no good answer, so you have to make it into a joke. But I do remember one very specific conversation that I had. This was, I had the privilege to do some support for the Marine Special Forces, and me and this MARSOC guy had just figured out how to plug a pretty big collections gap in the province we were at, and we were very pleased. It was a good day. And we just sat there and looked at the plan, and then he looked at me and he said, it's really too bad. All of this is going to fall apart the minute we leave. And I said, yep. And then we were silent for a second, and then we left for our respective rooms. And it would just be at certain moments where, you know, even when things were going well, maybe especially when they were, it just, you'd become overwhelmed with the fact that no matter how well you did, it didn't really matter. And sometimes you brought it up and mostly you just joked about it or didn't.
And when you say Afghanistan meant nothing, I mean, nothing.
I mean, everything means something, right? It certainly changed America. It certainly influenced millions of lives in this country and especially in Afghanistan. But as far as accomplishing anything that we set out to, as far as making any kind of difference, bringing freedom and democracy or whatever we said we were going to do or making America safer, no, I don't think we accomplished any of those things. And I think it's like some kind of nightmare sitcom where you don't just go back to the way it was at the beginning of the episode. Now everything is worse and it breaks my heart. I didn't enjoy writing those words, but I stand by them.
So there you go. One of the reasons I harp on this stuff, again, I try to cover things here that other shows won't and that conservative media really won't touch. The last 2 weeks have been filled with nothing with Joe Biden as a disaster and look what he did to Afghanistan. And I understand that. I know that's fun to talk about with your other conservative buddies. I know it's good to have some ammo against your political enemies. But I believe that it leaves off the hook George Bush, John Bolton, Dick Cheney, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. All of these other people that were involved in these things are the ones who really have the majority of blame. Joe Biden made a mess at the end, his administration. We know it wasn't him because he can't function. I mean, I doubt very seriously he could cook himself a meal at this point. So it's not his fault, but it is still, it's a failure of foreign policy people, if it's a failure. Maybe it's just designed to look like a failure so that it creates more problems going forward so we're back in Afghanistan or we see the terrorist attack to start off the war on terror 2.0. But I believe all the piling of on of Joe Biden, while justified to a degree, leaves out a whole bunch of people who you should have equal contempt for. And it is the people who sent our kids over there for these meaningless missions, who perpetually kept our kids there, surged more kids there. And that is the Steve Scalises. It's the Republican Congress members, too, who continue to participate in this 20-year boondoggle, this 20-year scam of this war in Afghanistan. So blame Joe Biden all you want, but boy, you should put a whole lot of other players in there, many of them on your side. Fox News, one of the biggest pumpers of every single troop deployment and war out there, along with the rest of the mainstream media, but I know most conservatives listen to Fox. They should be implicated in this failure in Afghanistan as well. Don't let these people off the hook. While we stick on foreign policy for one more segment here, I will say I do not believe that the withdrawal from Afghanistan, I don't even know how complete it is. We know they've already admitted they're leaving CIA in there. I don't know how many contractors are still in there that are, you know, pull out your paycheck, take a look at your federal withholding. You're still sending money to Afghanistan. And we found out the other day that you're funding the entire Pakistani national security state. Their military, their defense budget, their intelligence agencies. That's all you. Again, thank you from Pakistan. But I believe that any drawdown in troops in Afghanistan just means there's going to be other hotspots, and so we need to be on guard to those. I ran across this story. Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz said the U.S. and Israel are working to develop a plan B for the indirect negotiations to revive the Iranian nuke deal. According to the Times of Israel, Gantz warned if Iran acquires nuclear weapons, it would trigger an international arms race. A comment that ignores the fact that Israel already has a nuclear arsenal and is the only nuclear-armed country in the Middle East. And I believe they're the only country in the world that has not signed on to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel has nuclear weapons, and for some reason the whole world allows them to just keep it secret. We pretend like they don't. Quote, the United States, this is from Gantz, the defense minister over in Israel, he said, the United States and Israel share intelligence information and the cooperation with the United States in this field is only getting stronger. We are working with them in order to establish a plan B and to demonstrate that there is, that if there is no deal, other activities will begin, as President Biden said. That's Gantz, the defense minister of Israel. They're not done with Iran. I take that seven countries speech that Wesley Clark gave very seriously, and Iran was the last on that list. So rest assured, we are not out of the Middle East in any way. This will be just a temporary pause in what's going on in Afghanistan while we allow other areas to heat up. We've still got Trump put soldiers in Syria to steal their oil. I know that's what's not supposed to be said. We're supposed to only be blaming Joe Biden for everything. I know. I don't play well with others. Trump put soldiers into Syria oil fields to steal their oil. Joe Biden is continuing to steal that oil. We're still in Iraq. We're still in Libya. We're still bombing Yemen. We're still involved over there. So we need to be on guard for stuff like this when Israel is threatening to go ahead and crank something off with Iran. I wanted to mention something real quick. You can think about this when you watch the news. Kind of a fun game. Adds a little bit of drama and mystery and intrigue to our foreign policy. From what I understand from reading over the years, and I think I've talked about this maybe only once before, but I think I saw an evidence of this. There is a battle within the United States over our foreign policy. And it is said that there are two teams that I don't think people are mostly aware of. There is the White House and the Pentagon. That is your military. And it is them versus the State Department and the CIA. And they want essentially different things, and you will see them go and sabotage each other. We saw in the Middle East, just over the past decade, we saw the Pentagon and our military being sent over to the Middle East to fight the ISIS that was funded by the CIA and the State Department. So a lot of the battles that take place overseas are actually largely battles between different factions of our own government. Now, I'm sure this gets clouded in some areas, but the other day I heard that story about the list of Americans that were left in Afghanistan being given over to the Taliban. And immediately my spidey sense went off. And there was a lot of condemnation for that. Lawmakers and military officials are reportedly outraged that after the United States gave the Taliban a list of names of Americans and Afghan allies to evacuate. According to a report from Politico on Thursday, American officials in Kabul, quote, gave the Taliban a list of names of American citizens, green card holders, and Afghan allies to grant entry into the militant-controlled outer perimeter of the city's airport. The report says that this was intended to expedite the evacuation efforts, but that the move has drawn outrage from military officials and from lawmakers. Quote, basically they just put all those Afghans on a kill list, a defense official told Politico. What that sounds like to me, and I could be wrong, I'm not saying this for certain, but when you've got these two factions, if you've got one faction, the military, the Pentagon and the White House trying to withdraw troops from Afghanistan, but you've got the State Department, the CIA trying to keep everything hot over there, this kind of feels like a bit of a sabotage effort in the middle of a Pentagon operation. It is much more complicated than just constantly saying, it's Joe Biden. Joe Biden screwed this all up. Look what Joe Biden did. Joe Biden did this. Joe Biden did that. Joe Biden's incompetent. He is. But there is much more going on in foreign policy. And when you see this news, I think it's very interesting. It, like I say, it adds a little drama and intrigue to it all. But when you realize that the State Department rolls out this USAID, it's their, air quotes here in the studio, humanitarian arm. Which is known to just be a way to get spooks and spies into any country under the guise of humanitarian contributions to a country that's experiencing some kind of a crisis, be it a natural disaster or some kind of a civil war or something like that. You'll see USAID loading in there, and that's just the Trojan horse to get our intelligence agency in there to start stirring up more trouble. So keep an eye on that. And when you watch the news, sometimes you'll see things and you'll go, I know which side started that. And then just think how sick it is that in between the White House Pentagon versus State Department CIA branches of this government, realize that our military, our men and women, our moms and dads, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters are used as pawns in this little war between the two of them for control and for power and for different kinds of motives. It's really, really very, very sick stuff, but it's happening. I'll be right back.
What's the frequency, can it be shot? Things are drained.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we do what we do every Friday at this time and start wrapping up the week by looking back at some of the more insane things going on. My list gets longer every single week the further we go into 2021. We're going to do this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train.
All aboard!
I will tell you, I got actually excited about this first clip. Like, I've been wanting to play it for a couple of days now with my talk about the school boards around the country and how people need to start facing off with these groups and letting them know you're taking your schools back. This was fantastic. This is a school board. Where was it? I'm not sure exactly where it was, but this is a school board. You know, they get their roster of people who are going to speak to the group. I don't know if you've heard this. I'm just going to say this. School boards, not always the swiftest on the uptake, and these are the people that are slapping your kids in these dirty, filthy masks every day.
You guys work for us in this environment. You answer to us, and I'm asking that you do not pass this policy in Virginia.
Thank you so much, Ms. Thomas. We do appreciate you.
Okay, so it is in Virginia that what that woman, another, a great mom, a great activist, now that we're all going to be forced to become activists. But the funny part of this is, listen to the list that this guy was given to call on for his next speakers. It sounds like something off a Simpsons episode.
Phil McCracken. Phil McCracken. Salk Suk Mahidic. Luke Mahidic. Ophelia McHawk. Ophelia McHawk. Eileen Dover. Eileen Dover. Don Kiedick. Don Kiedick. Wayne Kerr. Wayne Kerr.
I hope you got those. Most people are familiar with these kinds of names, like Wayne Kerr, which is actually Wanker. There are some others in there that I really can't explain on FCC airwaves. But I'm telling you, these school boards, not always so swift. These are the people that you have to fight against. It's not going to be that hard if you get actually engaged. And if you do not get engaged, and particularly I am trying to set a rallying cry around these masks to free our children from this abusive, filthy rag on their face every single day. If you don't do it now, when do you think your children may get a chance to breathe again?
Dr. Anthony Fauci says the country could get, quote, good control of the virus by spring of next year if vaccination rates improve.
But if we can get through this winter and get really the majority, overwhelming majority of the 90 million people who have not been vaccinated, I hope we could start to get some good control in the spring of 2022. If we keep lingering without getting those people vaccinated that should be vaccinated, this thing could linger on, leading to the development of another variant.
The FDA Monday gave full approval to the Pfizer vaccine for people 16 and older, finding the vaccine is 91% effective in preventing COVID.
I guess that clip's a week old. That's changed immensely, as you will hear from your CDC director. And I've played this clip before, but I just can't resist it. This is the lying Walensky, the head of the CDC.
Additionally, reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
Increased risk of severe disease for those inoculated early. So there you go. Anthony Fauci says next spring, maybe if we all behave and us obstinate people in the control group don't leave the control group and take the jab, maybe next spring. So if you don't think you need to get your child out of the mask today because you think it's going to be over in 2 weeks, like the Madison School Board tried to trick you into believing, I got another thing coming for you.
Unvaccinated Americans should not travel Labor Day weekend because the COVID risk is too high right now. That's the message today from the CDC.
Given where we are with disease transmission right now, we would say that people need to take these risks into their own consideration as they think about traveling. First and foremost, if you are unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling.
So this is the same CDC. I got to go back and play your clip again. This is the same CDC director telling you not to travel if you're unvaccinated, yet just a few days ago she said this.
Additionally, reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
I don't really know I can comment on that at this point. Here was one of the most egregious things we saw in the past week.
Rebecca Furlett has been divorced for 7 years and shares custody of her 11-year-old son with her ex-husband, what had been a 50-50 split in parenting time. But on August 10th, in an unrelated child support hearing, Cook County Judge James Shapiro asked Furlett whether she'd been vaccinated. When she told the judge no because she's had bad reactions to vaccines in the past, Judge Shapiro stripped Furlett of all of her parenting time until she agrees to get vaccinated.
I think that it's wrong. I think that it's dividing families, and I think that it's not in my son's best interest to be away from his mother.
Furlett is now asking the appellate court to stay the judge's order, her attorney saying the judge has overstepped his authority.
You have to understand, the father did not even bring this issue before the court. So it's the judge on his own making this decision that you can't see your child until you're vaccinated.
So again, you know, they're trying to mask all of us, but the mask has come off of the petty tyrants among us, and this judge is certainly one of those. That order has been, he reversed his order. Why did he reverse his order? Because of an outcry from the public. You actually can win these battles if you get off the couch, turn off Netflix and Instagram for about an hour a week. You could take this country back. Until then, kids are subjected to other abuses as well.
One high school's plan to fight COVID, igniting a firestorm of controversy. The school wanted to force athletes to wear ankle monitors to enforce social distancing, but decided against the plan after backlash from parents.
Boom. Another victory against an insane, out-of-control education establishment. It's not only education that has lost its collective mind. It's some of the corporations, and I'm going to shed a tear when I bash this next company because it is responsible for the first 21 years of my life in supporting me.
We turn now to a controversial new punishment for people saying no to the COVID vaccine. Their bosses are making them pay higher insurance premiums and making them give back sick days.
This morning, a new cost facing those unwilling to get vaccinated against COVID. Delta Airlines now saying unvaccinated employees will soon face a $200 monthly surcharge on their health insurance.
This is not just costing lives. This is costing us financial resources as well.
Delta CEO says on average, employees who are hospitalized with COVID cost the company $50,000 per person.
If I'm in a small company and an unvaccinated person gets COVID and has to be hospitalized, my rates for premiums next year will go up.
Before vaccines were available, many insurance companies waived all costs related to COVID treatment. But now, that may not be the case.
But they've rolled back those waivers now. So if you are hospitalized with COVID, even for, you know, 5 days and you don't need the ICU, you could very well end up with a bill approaching $100,000.
We spoke with one.
COVID is good business for the medical community, isn't it?
Woman who does not want her name used. She says her husband spent 3 weeks on a ventilator before he could get the COVID vaccine. After going to several rehab facilities, she says their insurance claimed.
So he spent 3 weeks on a ventilator before he could get the vaccine. If he was on a ventilator for COVID, he had developed natural antibodies, which now have shown to be anywhere between 6 and 13 times more effective than the vaccine. But instead, he gets the vaccine, wipes out his natural antibodies, and replaces it with something 1/6 to 1/13 as effective. What has happened to us?
His treatment would be fully covered, but they walked away with millions of dollars in bills. While much of that may still be covered, they're waiting on approvals and facing collection notices for bills coming due now.
Still fighting with insurance company to find out, you know, who's going to be paid, who's not going to be paid.
Unlike United Airlines, Delta stopped short of mandating the vaccine. It will also limit the number of sick days that unvaccinated workers can take if they get COVID.
So Delta Airlines charging $200 a month to those who are unjabbed. To anybody who supports this kind of policy, I've heard a lot of this. You're putting our lives at danger. You're costing us money, those kinds of things. You just wait. You just wait till you show up to a job interview and they offer you a job, but your BMI is over 30. You think they're not going to start charging you for that? Smokers, people that come in with a pre-existing condition of a heart problem. Do you understand the Pandora's box that will be that if people are charged more because of their decision on this vaccine? Can you not see how this rolls out? You think any of you diabetics out there or pre-diabetics, you think you're going to get a job without a hefty charge for your insurance? This is another precedent they're going to set that we're going to be very sorry to see. And I hate to think Delta Airlines, who my father worked for 35 years, put me through my entire life. I love Delta Airlines for what they did. I can't stand what they're doing now. Americans always ready to panic.
Back now with the return of Americans hoarding toilet paper. Consumers emptied shelves at the start of the pandemic, and now Procter & Gamble, the nation's largest toilet paper maker, is ramping up production once again. The company says demand is rising due to the surge in COVID cases.
What are you people eating? Please listen to my show every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. Why does everybody need so much toilet paper? This is Justin Trudeau. You want to hear a slimy politician? He may be the slimiest one in the Western world. Joe Biden is inept, incompetent, mentally deficient. There's a million things, corrupt. He's a parasite on the system. I've got a million adjectives for Joe Biden. But when you want to talk about just pure, just smarm and slime, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, may be the worst. Listen to him not answer these questions. And I guess he gets away with this in Canada?
There are definitely more than 25 people in this fairly tight and crowded space, and provincial law in Ontario currently limits indoor gatherings.
Let me set this up again. I apologize. This is a reporter pointing out the hypocrisy of the COVID rules for all the Canadians, but of course, you know, the government officials do not have to acknowledge these things. This is a guy from Rebel News, I believe, who's asking him the question, hey, you're violating your own rules. Is that not a problem?
There are definitely more than 25 people in this fairly tight and crowded space, and provincial law in Ontario currently limits indoor gatherings to 25 people. Are you breaking the spirit, if not the letter of the law, to hold a party event and lecture the Premier of Ontario on vaccine passports?
I think Canadians are facing a really important choice right now. The big decisions about our future, they're being made now and in the coming months. by your government?
I'm not sure that was an answer to my question. So did you get special clearance to hold an event that exceeds current crowd capacity in Ontario indoors?
We're going to continue to do everything we can to keep people safe. We will always follow public health guidance. We will follow the best recommendations of the public health experts advising our campaign. And the first and most fundamental thing we do is to be able to look at Canadians and say every single one of our candidates is doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah, just two complete non-answers. What happened to my Canadian friends? I got a lot of relatives in Canada. I've always been a big fan of Canada. I used to visit Canada quite often. I always loved it up there. Really like Canadians. They got a cool vibe up in Canada, but they have lost their ever-loving mind, and that guy is one of the worst in the Western world. I'll be right back.
Calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week as we look at this week on the crazy train. But before we park this thing, I want to let you know this weekend, you're looking for something to do. We got a long weekend. You got to fill it up with activities. You got the kids home. They want to do stuff. You want to go out. You want to enjoy a game. Football season starting. You need to head out to Yerpai out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt. You're going to get great food. You're going to have TVs. You got high school football on Fridays. You got college football on Saturdays now. Woohoo! And then you're going to have NFL on Sundays. It's a fantastic place. This place is veteran-owned. It's locally owned. 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, brownies, beer, wine. What else could you want? It's fantastic food. Make sure you get the Yerpai app so you get some little goodies, getting rewarded for the many times you go, and you will go many times. So check them out. Again, that's Yerpai out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Tell them Mike Madison sent you. They'll treat you extra special, I'm sure. Oh, let's see what else we got. As always, I'm going to run out of time on this segment. Kamala Harris came out. Kamala Harris came out, and she's weighing in on some economic issues. She's such a smart woman. Listen to what she blames the supply chain issues on. These are supply chain issues that are a result of overarching COVID stuff from the governments that sent people home, screwed. I mean, they broke everything in our economy with their COVID response, largely run by the Democrats. But Kamala Harris says there's another reason we got no toys on the shelves for Christmas.
The stories that we are now hearing about the caution that if you want to have Christmas toys for your children, it might now be the time to start buying them because the delay may be many, many months. So across the board, people are experiencing the issue. And of course, the climate crisis is fueling a lot of this. When we look at the stronger typhoons that have disrupted shipping lanes and sea level rise, which threatens port infrastructure as an example. So these are the many issues that are causing these disruptions.
They broke our entire economy. And I mean that. Quite honestly, I want to say literally. Would that be a right use of the word? I hate the overuse of the word literally. They broke everything. They broke the employment, the job market. They broke supply chains. They broke business owners. They broke Main Street. They broke entrepreneurship. They broke everything. Kamala Harris says it's just climate change. I have never been so proud to be the host that came on 4.5 years ago and immediately launched into my attacks on Fox News, telling you they are the Judas Goat Network. Save Tucker Carlson. It is still remains the Judas Goat Network. And they actually had a host. I'm not sure who this was. I can't remember who this was. Listen to their explanation. They tried to give Joe Biden a pass on looking at his watch when the Marines came home.
Let's go to Trey Yangston in Doha, Qatar. But Trey, just before we do, I just want to pick up a little bit on what we were talking to Ari Fleischer about, and that is President Biden lifting up his wrist like this as the dignified transfer was happening. The president is known to wear a rosary on his left wrist that belonged to his late son, Beau. And it's possible that that may have been what the president was looking at. Again, we haven't heard an explanation from the White House.
Yeah, and you're not going to, because the guy was looking at his watch, seeing if it was time for Wapner. You remember Rain Man? Wapner. Was it Dustin Hoffman's character had to be somewhere to watch Wapner? That was the first thing I thought when I saw that. He was checking to see if Jeopardy was about to come on. You know what older people like to watch? Let's see what else we got here. Well, we'll do a little bit more climate change stuff. Here we go. Here's Joe Biden. I knew I'd find a clip from him somewhere.
Biden administration created a new federal office to address the health consequences of climate change and their disproportionate effects on poor and minority communities. The Department of Health and Human Services will oversee the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, which will treat climate change as a public health issue. Officials say one of the first tasks will be to take accounting of greenhouse gas emissions from various parts of the healthcare sector.
So now, climate change is a health issue. We got a whole new department to address it. Justin Trudeau, one more time.
What we learned from this climate, COVID crisis.
Oops.
We will be applying.
See, to the elites, they are interchangeable. That's right, because they're going to use the same playbook they've used for COVID to control your lives with climate change.
COVID crisis, we will be applying to the climate crisis.
There we go.
To the housing crisis.
Ah.
To reconciliation.
Oh.
To making sure that everyone has good jobs and careers that carry them through and create opportunities for their kids.
Yeah, so climate crisis will be the next thing that they abuse us with. A couple of stories. One of the stories I talk about this week on the crazy train. In a year in which every week we see a fresh battle for the top slot in the I Can't Believe This Is Happening headline competition, we have a new potential champion. San Francisco has decided it will pay criminals $300 a month, provided they do not put a bullet in anyone or get one put inside of them. San Francisco, the formerly great city. And let me see if I got time for this clip. I just thought this was bizarre.
Back now with a gang of brazen bank robbers in Brazil. After holding up three banks, they tied hostages to the top of their getaway cars, using them as human shields to keep police from firing at their convoy. At least three people were killed during the robbery.
Look, that's tragic. Obviously, people were killed. A bunch of gangsters stealing money. None of it's any good. But I got to tell you, when I heard them say that they tied the people to the top of the cars to keep the cops shooting at them, my first thought was, oh, that's a pretty good idea. All right, that's all the time I got. Have a fantastic weekend, a long holiday. I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.